Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1231 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is important in order to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, we must have a proper understanding of God and His Word. Last week, we began a new series on Mastering the Bible. Our focus for the next several months on Worldview Wednesday will be mastering the Bible through a series of brief insights. These insights are extracted from a book by the same title from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. This book is a collection of insights to help you understand the Bible better. When we say let the Bible be what it is, we can understand it as the original readers did and as the original writers intended. Each week, we will explore two of these insights. And today, the title is Mastering the Bible, Inspiration Was a Process. So insight number three is Inspiration Was a Process, Not an Event. Dr. Heiser brings some very solid insights into the topic of biblical inspiration. Because the Bible clearly calls itself inspired, which indicates God breathed in 2 Timothy 3:16, we tend to think about inspiration as some sort of otherworldly event. That's a misconception. The Bible is a divine book, given that 2 Timothy 3:16 says that it is, but it is also a thoroughly human book. Let me read this verse. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us to realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Failing to grasp its humanness of inspiration can lead to all sorts of problems in understanding it and can even cause us to doubt its authenticity. Embracing the humanity of the Bible is enormously helpful in understanding what's in the Bible and why it says the things it does. For example, we have four Gospels. Three of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, overlap in content a lot of the time with respect of what they include about the life of Jesus, but they often have things in different order. Dialogue isn't always the same. Certain details in the episodes of Jesus' life might be in two accounts and missing in the third. And when it comes to the Gospel of John, 90% literally of what is in the Gospel isn't even in the other three. One thing for sure isn't part of the explanation. The notion that the words were dropped from heaven or were downloaded into the brains of the Gospel writers. The Bible never describes inspiration in this way. It does describe very human acts. Writers record events and thoughts. They build arguments. They express themselves in poetry. They use sources. They create links between their works and other parts of Scripture. Writing involves work and careful thought. Biblical books were not slapped together. The Bible bears the marks of human decision-making on every page and in every paragraph. Biblical literature follows the convention of the day for competent, professional writers. Authors are sensitive to genre, structure, literary devices, word choices, poetic parallelism, and narrative art. No part of the biblical book just happened. God chose a wide range of people and providentially prepared them for the moment that He would prompt them, either by His Spirit or by someone else's influence, to write something for the posterity of God's people. God put them in situations that would lead them to write the message that God wanted preserved. He didn't need to put them in a trance or control their hands like we do children who are learning to write their letters. They were instruments, not puppets. So let's move on to our fourth insight, which is, inspiration was not a paranormal experience. Christians do believe the Bible is inspired. We intuitively presume that this means that God was involved in producing Scripture. But how exactly did that happen? In Dr. Heiser's and even in my own experiences, explanations of inspirations can get pretty strange. Dr. Heiser's regularly had students of Bible college Think of inspiration as some sort of episode where the Holy Spirit took control of the human author, even to the point where some pastors and Bible teachers talk about God controlling the hands, the fingers, and even the minds of the writers. This sounds more like an episode of X-Files or The Fringe than biblical theology. But what does this mean? The prophet Isaiah wasn't busy making breakfast one morning when he was suddenly cast by the Spirit of God into a mindless catatonic state. The words of the book that bears his names weren't downloaded into his brain. His body didn't stiffen as if it was possessed, save for one arm, that unbeknownst to him was busy filling out a scroll with the words from God. Isaiah wouldn't have later marveled at the results, eager to find out what he had just written while being a zombie. This is the sort of portrayal that one encounters in the occult literature, or descriptions of what psychics call automatic writing. The Bible describes nothing like this. Inspiration wasn't a paranormal event. We know that inspiration didn't work this way in the Bible itself. True, the Bible does say that its content is inspired, but that's just a statement about its ultimate source. The Bible bears marks of human thought, skill, and decision on every page. According to the Scripture, Scripture is both divine and human, and this can be found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. The authors didn't write independently of God's influence and providence, but they did indeed write what we have in the Bible. The biblical writers at times tells us directly that they had a purpose or agenda for what they did. For example, the author John, when he said the purpose for which he wrote the book in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And this is his words. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. You can also find additional explanations if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14 and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. Even when God commanded something to be written down, Scripture doesn't describe the person commanded as losing control of his mind and become unthinking robots. We therefore shouldn't expect that God had to whisper the words of the Bible into the inner ear of the writer. The inspiration of the Scripture is a culmination of a long process involving many dedicated hands. The biblical writers, named or not, were God's instruments because he providentially prepared them and used them for this task. God didn't need mind control. They did the job, God guided the results, and we are the beneficiaries. That will conclude our lesson on our second two insights from Dr. Heiser's book, Mastering the Bible. Next Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with two additional insights. I believe that you'll find each of these Worldview Wednesdays an interesting topic to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow we will continue with our 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us, and then come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,230 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and then leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.